give this time to you.
Amen.
Oh, speak, Lord.
Amen.
Speak in our inward parts.
Amen.
Oh, may the eyes of our heart be enlightened.
Amen.
Really want to see what is the hope of our calling.
Amen.
Lord, we just look to you and come to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Well, when Minoru started this message, for those that were in the ITERO training, he started out by saying that he wanted to invite Brother Lee to come and speak with us. So a lot of his message during that time was just reading things, mainly confessions of Brother Lee at different periods in his life, of his confessing to the Lord, of realizing that he was not a person living Christ. And I think, you know, I looked them all up. You all can. I'm not going to take that way this morning to go through them again. But you can listen to the message if you have it on tape. You can listen to what he had to say. But, you know, one of the points he pointed out was just after the really the first, maybe it was the first life study he was going to have in Romans, he had to have an operation on his eyes, and he was not able to come and have that life study, so he gave it to three different brothers who would give that life study, and it was, the name of it was Life. It's a life training is what it was called, life training. And the three brothers, two of them were very good. The third one, even when I was sitting there during this time, I never quite understood where he was coming from. Because mainly all you got was a lot of laughs. I don't know, do you remember that, Greg? I mean, the brothers would share, and it was this one brother would share, and man, you were in stitches the whole time that you was sharing. Just laughing and having a good time. You know, we kind of got to the point in our fellowship, we thought, well, maybe his function is to just open us up. You know, just get us open to so the other two brothers could pour something in. I'm just giving you my impression. But anyway, eventually Brother Lee came back, and the last meeting, he spoke through a tape. He was in a wheelchair with dark glasses on. He still couldn't speak. He was very limited by the doctors. So he spoke in a tape. And basically, he started out by saying, life is mysterious. For life is God himself. I can't give the whole thing, but there's a song in our supplement that is that way, which is a summary of his whole speaking on that tape. And you realize, you know, if you read one of his repentance during that time, he asked the Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me with my eyes? And the Lord basically told him, because you're blind. You don't really see the focus of my economy. You don't see the central lane of my economy. You speak about it, but you don't live it. You live yourself. You're not a person who is living me. So it was a pretty sobering word at that point in time. Then he read a couple of other times of Brother Lee's repentance at various times in his ministry up to nearly the time that he went to be with the Lord. But you know, and going through this, I mentioned last night, of course, I've been going through Hebrews, and one of the things, the warnings, the five warnings that are in the book of Hebrews have really struck me. And I haven't got to all five of them yet in the reading. I've just gotten to the first two. But I wrote the five down, and they're in the outline of Hebrews if you want to follow me. But I'm going to start out with verse Hebrews 2, 1 through 3, which says, therefore we ought to give heed more abundantly to the things which we have heard, lest perhaps we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved firm, And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense. How shall we escape if we have neglected so great a salvation? Which, having had its beginning in being spoken by the Lord, has been confirmed by us who heard it. When I was going through these outlines, and actually after I heard Edro during the time I was reading this, in me, I just felt, Lord, I do not want to miss this great salvation.
Amen.
I just don't want to be a person who misses what you have spoken and what you've laid out. This has been spoken and it's been laid out. Even I thought as we were reading, singing this song, we have an inner life. That's for the daily life. That's for the meeting life. I just had the thought, if we really saw that song, and if we really lived according to that song, I could just sit out. There's no sense in me talking anymore. We would have it. We would realize if we don't have an inner life, a daily life, we have the inner life. There's no question about that. But do we live that daily? Do we live that inner life in our daily life? If we did, then the meaning life would just take care of itself. We would be those who are rich with Christ and filling up the meaning life. And we would be where the Lord wants us. We would be experience Him in our daily life, living Him, and He would have His full glorious expression. Let me go ahead and read these warnings, just so that maybe you get a little impression. The first one was, give heed to what is spoken concerning the Son, right? Amen. And that's, how shall we escape so great a salvation? Then it says, do not come short of the promised land. This is where He says there's a rest. There's a Sabbath rest for us to enter into. There remains a day of rest. And this rest is God expressed. That's when God, when we enter into God's rest is when we express God. And He is at rest and we're at rest. So don't come short of the promised land, which is the good land, which is God's rest. It's His Sabbath. Then we need to be brought on to maturity. This is just Christ growing in us. Christ living in us. Christ being taken as our person. And then we need to come forward to the Holy of Holies and not shrink back, says Judaism, but to all of our religious concepts, whatever they are. The Holy of Holies is where we need to dwell. This needs to be our dwelling place. We need to live there. And then we need to run the race and not fall away from grace. Praise the Lord. Every situation we face, according to Hebrews, it's a river that we need to cross. It's just a river. And it's there, we just need to cross it. We need to move from the side of ourself into the side of Christ.
Amen.
It's just a crossing of a river. Anyway, I just wanted to read those. I've been very much impressed with them. I hope if you get a chance, you will look at them, and hopefully you can would be somewhat impressed too. You know, when we come to this matter of Christ as our person and living Christ, this we saw last night is the central work of God. This is the central item in God's economy. And it's actually, it's the focus of the entire Bible. If we don't see this, and if we don't read the Bible through this kind of lens, we miss all that is really in the Bible. We're just picking up peripheral things. We're not picking up what God is after. So we need to refocus everything so that we would see everything according to the fact that God wants to get into us and live in us so that and mingle Himself with us, becoming our very constitution, so that we can live Him. And eventually, this living of Him is not just Him as life, but it is him as a person. So many of the verses, I don't know about you, I just read them according to my Christian concept. I read things where it says Christ. It clearly says Christ. You know, that Christ may make his home in your heart. I don't know what I used to think, but it wasn't a person wanted to make his home in my heart. It was Christ in some kind of a mystical form. I don't know. But a person wants to make his home in our heart.
Amen.
You know, in John 5, it says that he who has the Son has life. Well, we use that verse a lot. Even we use it to talk to young believers to help them realize that they're really saved, that they really have the Lord. Because it says, if you receive the Lord, if you receive the Son, then you have the life. But we miss the Son. The Son is a person. So you can't have the life without having the Son. If you don't have the person of the Son, the question is, do you really have the life? You have the life in you. It's just like that song that we sang. Within, as in the seed, as in the flower, as the flower within the seed, as in the cone, the tree. But if you never allow that life to break out, then you have the life, surely. It's in that seed. We have Christ as a seed in us. That's a children's song, right? I have Christ as a seed in me. I'm going to let him grow. Sometimes we forget about the second part of that. You know, they found wheat in the some of the Egyptian tombs that have been there for thousands of years. And the life is still in that wheat. They plant it and it grows. But as long as it was there, there was nothing breaking out. As long as it wasn't in the proper environment, having the proper light, the water, the soil, the nutrients, it just is there as a seed. But praise the Lord, the Lord has gotten into us as the good soil.
Amen.
He's in our heart as the good soil, and we're in the right environment.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the church life.
Amen.
This is the right environment.
Amen.
Where we can get the proper sunshine, the proper watering, the light. We have the way for the seed to grow in us. But that growing, as I tried to point out last night, it's a struggle. And one of the biggest struggles to get out of us, particularly, is to break through ourself.
Yeah.
Ourself is a real problem. And, you know, one of the books that we're reading together with some of the brothers in the Metroplex, there's one point where Brother Lee talks about this preacher that was in China that was very popular, and he would come into the room off to the side. As he'd walk in the room, he'd be singing, "Christ is in me, hallelujah, Satan is down." He'd just be shouting and singing this is the way he came into the room. And of course, it shocked everyone, but he said it brought everyone into the spirit. So anyway, a lot of the time, what keeps us in ourself is our face. The face is really a example, or it is the mask of ourself. So when we're not willing to lose our face, that means we're not willing to lose ourself to some extent in some situations. But anyway, this morning, as we're getting to this matter of living Christ some more, and it's just a continuation of what we got into last night. It's not that much new. It's just a continuation. I wanted to just, the reason I want to do this is because eventually the living of Christ is only for one thing, and that's that God would have his expression.
Amen.
He wants a corporate expression of Christ living him on this earth. He wants someone, a group of people, who match him so that he can come back. His intention is to come back to a group of people that match him. Amen. So when we talk about, you know, we know Christ is in glory. And I use that song, 505, there's a man in the glory whose life is for me. What is glory? I just want to read a couple of sentences out of the life study of Hebrews. He says here, if you were to ask me what is glory, I would say that glory is eventually the light that shines through the wall of the New Jerusalem. To be brought into glory simply means to be brought into the glorious expression of God. The divine reality expressed through the corporate body is glory. This is the glory that we are going to enter into. Did you catch that? The divine reality expressed through the corporate body The divine reality expressed through the corporate body is glory. Amen. Not something shining in or on, but being shining out that comes out of the corporate body. This is the glory that we are going to enter into. The glory that we shall enter is not an objective shining or brightness. It is God himself shining from, through, and out of us. Anyway, there's a lot of, if you get a chance, read, and are interested, read Message 10 of Hebrews. He talks about the captain of our salvation who is leading us into glory. And he said, there's no problem understanding a captain. We know what a captain is. He's a leader. He's one who's fighting for us. He's one who's cut the way. The problem is we don't have the proper understanding of glory. So we don't understand what our captain is doing. We don't understand that he is operating in us to bring us through in the same way that he was brought through. So we need to have the proper understanding of what glory is. So anyway, if you get a chance, I encourage you to read this chapter. Well, this morning, the title of this message, how about we read it together? Taking Christ as our person and living him in and for the church life. Then living Christ and walking according to the Spirit for amen. This is taking Christ. Let's read that one more time. Make sure we get it. Taking Christ as our person and living him in and for the church life. Living Christ by walking according to the Spirit for the body life. What we're talking about is doing something for the body, not something for ourselves. So, again, saints, I am mainly going to go through the outline and add some portions from the ministry of our brother. So, anyway, just follow me, and we'll see if we can see something together. I started reading some of these things to my wife, and I started to stop, and she said, don't. So we had to continue reading a lot of these together. But anyway, Amen. It's new. I don't know. I've heard them for years. I hope you all begin to have the same realization. To me, it's new. I've been around for a number of years. Not just around yesterday, but some of these things, it's like I've never seen them before, Tim. They are so new. They're just so new. And I believe it's like, you know, the Lord is desiring to come back. You know, if you look at the whole world situation, everything is lined up. It wouldn't take anything for the Lord to change things in an instant. To make the world situation line up. The problem is with us. And I believe in this time, where we are right now at this age, the Lord has given us all an ear to hear these things. We listened to them before, but like I said last night, we were just the cows that Brother Lee called. We're just the cows to whom he's playing the beautiful music. And we paid no attention to it. We just moo. But today we have an ear. The Lord's brought us through so many things in the last number of years in the recovery, and I believe he's bringing us to a point where he wants to culminate this age.
Amen.
And the last thing that he needs for the culmination of this age is the new man.
Amen.
He needs the new man who will be his bride and who will be the warrior. The bride, like I said last night, the bride and the warrior are the same thing. They both have the same. The warrior has the same uniform that the bride has. The wedding garment is the warrior's uniform. So we need to be those who are really into and living the new man. And the new man, when it comes to the new man, it's not good enough to have the life. With the body of Christ, life is the main thing. But when it comes to the new man, the person is the main thing. A man has a person. He has a personality. He has his likes, his tastes, his attitudes, his actions. All these things are related to the person. The person. And the person is related to the new man. So it's not good enough in these days to just be those who say we have Christ as our life. That surely makes us the body. But to have Christ as the new man in our living, we have to have his person.
Amen.
That is the only thing that allows us to be blent with one another. Without that, we just have no way to be blent. We're just individuals with our own culture, our own taste. I spent a little bit of time in London here not too long ago, and they speak the same language as we do. But man, there's a lot of things different. You got to get on the wrong side of the car. You got to get used to driving on the wrong side of the road. They call the hood, the bonnet, and the trunk, the boot. Just a lot of things. And you're sitting here, you're talking with these brothers. I was working with them on the Woodland camp. And you're talking here about these different construction things, and you think you know all the things. And they come up with all these terms. And you got to stop them and say, what does that mean? And, you get going. I don't intend to offend anyone. I hope I don't. But you get going in your day, and you're just getting into the day real well, good. Well, it's tea time. You got to stop. You got to stop and have tea. It's nearly a legality. It's almost a crime not to miss tea time. Anyway, there's just things, and you don't realize it. You don't realize that I'm built this way until you get with someone else. Well, how in the world are we going to be blent together if we stay in our culture and in our way and our attitude? The Lord has got to become our person. He's got to be my person. He's got to be Dan's person, Rob, Rick's, Greg's, Jeannie's, all of our persons. Then there's just one person here. It's not a bunch of individual persons. So this is what the Lord is after today. He wants a group of people who are blent together in such a way, there's just one person. There's a lot of different faces, a lot of different colors, a lot of different cultures, but there's only one person.
Amen.
This is a testimony. This is a real testimony to the whole world that God is here. This was his prayer, right, in John 17, that the world would see and believe because of the oneness. Eventually, the ultimate oneness is to be one in the divine glory.
Amen.
That's the last part of that prayer, is that we would be one in the divine glory, which is we're just expressing Christ. All of us are living him. We're expressing Christ. That's glory. It's not something you know, some kind of shining, outward shining. I enjoyed a sister shared with me last night. She was someplace where she goes regularly, and as she was leaving, someone came up to her and just started talking to her, attracted to her, and she felt, why am I walking off? I need to say something to this one. This attraction is not ourselves. This attraction is because there's a person living in us. When we have this person being expressed through us, people are attracted. Then we have, there's no need to do anything except just open your mouth. But praise the Lord, this is what we want. We want people attracted, not because we're doing a lot of things, but because we're expressing Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So anyway, just follow with me as I go through these. Okay, one, we need to live Christ in and for the church life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The central thought of the Bible is that God desires us to live Christ for the building up of the body. Okay, I'm going to add, my adding on this is just going to read some ministry, okay? The thought of God, the thought that God in Christ wants to live us in us so that we may live him may seem strange to us, even if we've studied the Bible, because this thought is new to our mind. We understand anything that we read mainly according to our pre-existing vocabulary and concepts. When we read the Bible, we do not receive revelation, but instead insert the thoughts and occupations of the self into the understanding of the Bible. Once the thought enters into our mind that God in Christ wants to live in us so that he may live, that we may live him, we will be able to see and clearly apply this focus to every portion of the Bible. We need to see it so that we can apply it to every portion of the Bible.
Amen.
It says, for instance, we can apply this focus to Ephesians 5. A husband is able to love his wife because God, who is love, lives in him and becomes his love as he lives God. We can apply this focus to every virtue mentioned in the Bible, such as humility, kindness, long-suffering, and forbearance. These should not be ethical virtues like those taught by Confucius, but the expression and issue of God living in us and our living him. Save us, Lord. Save us from having just the virtues. The main point of our Christian life is to live Christ. You read that verse, Galatians, right? Where Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Are we bold enough to say the same thing?
Amen.
Amen. We should be. For me to live is Christ. Amen. Well, Lee said, if we're honest, we have to admit that the real situation is, to me, to live is just me. And that the standard of our living is mainly morality and ethics, not Christ. And this is his example. If a brother stole something, we would immediately condemn him. But if we failed to live Christ, if he failed to live Christ as his life, he would have no sensation that he's wrong, because he would have no concept that the requirement of God in his economy is that we live the divine life. You know, you don't have to use stole, just put anything in there. But so many things we consider so bad, we condemn ourselves or we condemn others. But to have a day or a part of a day not living Christ, we don't think much about it. I'm just talking about myself, saints. This isn't in my thought. We need this concept. According to the natural ethical concept, to hate people and to steal are wrong. But there is nothing in the natural concept that gives us a sense that we are wrong when we do not live Christ. It's just not in our natural concept. The Lord's got to put this in us. We must see that if we do not live Christ, we are far off from God's intention. We're not just a little off, we're far off. I'm just repeating. Brother, you know, Menorah asked Brother Lee to come. That's basically what I'm doing today, saints. The climax, the highest point of the divine revelation in the entire Bible is to live Christ. How about we read that one together? The climax, the highest point in the revelation
in the entire Bible is to live Christ.
Amen. The New Testament, there are four main verses that reveal the matter of living Christ. John 6:57, John 14:19, and Galatians 2:20. You can look these up, but I wanted to just, you know, in Galatians 2:20, this is the one where Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And then in 1:21, he says, for me to live is Christ. This, again, I just again say, this Christ is a person. He is a person that wants to live in us.
Amen.
These are four main verses in the entire Bible. The Christian life is a life in which the believers of Christ live him. Our primary concern should not be anything outward, but whether we are living the self or living Christ. Okay. The thought that God wants us to live, wants to live in us so that we may live him, is like the fine flour. And all the other thoughts are like leaven. Any other thought that we have other than us living Christ is just the leaven that gets put into the meal of the fine flour. That I need to be good, I need to be this, I need to be that. Am I too much with so and so? These are all off the wrong tree. The only thing God cares about is that we would live Christ. We're often distracted by outward things such as the work or the problems that are in our local churches. When we're living Christ, we are best able to care for the church. All of us should care for the church. I know this is an hetero message, but all of us should have this kind of a care for the church, right? Not just the leading ones. So if we live Christ, we must take him as our person and be one with him. It's impossible for two persons to live at the same time. Even just in your household. If you have two people living at the same time in your household, it's conflict. I somewhat enjoyed that sister's testimony last night with her daughter. There's two persons there trying to live at the same time. If she hadn't turned to the Lord and allowed herself to be touched by the Lord and just be quiet, there's conflict. There's no way not to have it. So even in our human life, if there's two people, two persons living, there's just headbutting going on. You know, imagine in us, we have the Lord in us and we have us. We need to give the Lord the way to win.
Amen.
Let him deal with what we are. We must be one. He and we must be one in a practical way. Anyway, that verse, he who is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. It's easy to say that. It's really easy just to repeat it. But I hope you all are getting like I have been. I've got to ask myself, am I living this? Is it just a word that I can repeat? Or is this something that's in my daily living? That I am really joined to the Lord. That I am really one spirit with the Lord. Allowing him to have his way. To live Christ is to live a person. We should live a life that is Christ himself. We should focus our whole attention on living Christ and care only to live Christ, not allowing anything to distract us from the direct, personal experience of Christ. This one got me. When we may seek the Lord's leading without seeking to live Christ. I've done that many times. We may seek the Lord's leading without seeking to live by the Lord. Living by the Lord is the primary thing. Actually, we do not need to seek the Lord's leading in our daily living, but we do need to seek to live by the Lord daily. When we live by the Lord, our living will become the Lord's leading. What a word, huh? If we live by the Lord, our living will become the Lord's leading. Too many times, I go to the Lord. Lord, what should I do? Marshall and I are in a situation right now. We just don't know what to do. We go to the Lord. Lord, what should we do? Oh, Lord, you got to lead us. What should we do? But am I really living the Lord in my asking the Lord this, or is this just, I want an answer? Do I just want something to answer my question as to what we should do? You know, these verses that are here, I just underlined and highlighted a couple of things of Paul's desire. I did it because I feel like this is what we all need to have as a desire. In Philippians 3, 9 through 12, he says, first off, that I may be found in him. This was his desire, that I could be found in him. You know, when we're with one another, it's pretty easy to be found in him. We exercise to be with one another. But what about when we're not with someone? What if we're just in the car by ourselves? Do the angels find us in him? Or are we found in ourselves? Lord, we really want to be found in you. Then not only that, he says to know him. We need to be those who know him. It's hard not to repeat some things because these things overlap so much, but like I illustrated last night, he's a giant mold that we've been poured into as the living dough. We need to know him in a living way. All the crevices, all the mines, all the things that he is, all the riches that he is, we need to explore them out. He is the universe that we live in, and we need to know him in this kind of a way, in his word and in our experience.
Amen.
And then we need to be those who are seeking to attain the out-resurrection from the dead. This out-resurrection, again, saying it's just to be in God's expression. It's that glory would be a part of our being coming out of us. The resurrection in Christ was he was glorified. His glorification was he came into God's expression. He had the full expression of God. It shouldn't be that we're going somewhere or even that we're meeting the Lord. We are meeting the Lord. But it's a mutual meeting. He's coming in glory, and we're going to him in glory. It's a mutual glory that's going on. So we need to have this kind of a desire in us that we would obtain to this kind of glorification, to meet him in glory as he comes in glory. And then I pursue, if even I may lay hold of that for which I have been laid hold of by Christ. This is just repeating God's main and central goal, right? Christ laid hold of us so that we could be possessed by him, so that we would live him, he could have a home, and he would be lived out as our person. So living Christ requires that we love him to the uttermost. Shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, with your whole strength. Part of the secret of living Christ is telling the Lord again and again that we love Him. If we do not love the Lord, we cannot live Him. You know, when I came into the Lord's recovery, the thing that touched me the most, or one of the things, was things that in the denominations and in where I'd been before were attractive, but there was no way to get there. And then in the Lord's recovery, we found we have a spirit. Amen. And that became something real that you could grab hold of. No longer is it something that you got to try to reach and attain, but we have a spirit. We can exercise our spirit. And I enjoy little things like this that the brothers point out. A way to live the Lord is just to tell Him you love Him. Amen. Just, Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. As we do this time after time, it gives Him the opportunity. It stirs Him up. If I tell my wife I love her, it's, you know, in a good way. I mean, she feels good about it. I feel good about it when she tells me she loves me. Yeah. So if it affects us this way, how much it affects the Lord in the same way? We just say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. And this stirs Him up to live in us and to gain us. And it gives us the willingness to give the ground. You know, if I didn't love my wife, the home would be a whole different situation. But because you love your spouse and you love your children, there's a lot of giving, you know. You give, you take, you know, a lot of things. This is, the Lord wants to gain us, but we gain Him by loving Him. And He gains us by our loving Him. If we live, okay, to live Christ means that when Christ lives, we who believe into Him and who are in Him also live. It's a together living. Praise the Lord. It's not Him living in us on the couch someplace, but we are living with Him. So we live in Christ's living, and He lives in our living. If we live in His living will also be our living. The practical way to live Christ is to walk according to the Spirit. This is 8:4. The righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We need to pay full attention to walking according to the Spirit in order to live Christ. The walk here in Romans 4 denotes the general walk in our daily living, including how we think, speak, act, and move. You know, in the Bible, there's these two kinds of walks. In Romans 4 and then in Galatians 5, there's this Greek word, papeiateo or something like that, that means general walk. Then there's another Greek word that's also in Galatians 5 and Galatians 6, the staccato. It's where we get the word staccato in piano. It's to walk in step, in rank and file. But here, this word means in our general, daily Christian walk. We need to have a walk in the Spirit. And to walk according to the Spirit is to do everything in our daily life according to the Spirit. We need to walk according to the Spirit moment by moment, not only in the big things, but also in the small things, such as writing a letter, talking with our family at the dinner table. If we cannot do or say something according to the Spirit, we should not do or say it. We must admit that we are short of such a living. To pray only during the meetings or when we face a great problem is not to walk according to the Spirit. Our walking according to the Spirit in the daily living should be like our breathing. If we do not live Christ or walk according to the Spirit, our spiritual activities may be a performance. We should not act one way in the meetings and another way in our daily life. I couldn't find it this morning, but we used to have this song we sung quite a bit. I'm not sure it's in the hymnal anymore. But it's breathing in the Lord is how we live today. Not by thinking do we live, but breathing is the way.
Amen.
We just call, oh Lord, from very deep within. When we breathe, we testify we're being filled with Him. Amen. Anyway, I tried to find that this morning. I think they took it out. But it's on hymnals.net. So if you want to look it up. But that is a real jewel. Breathing in the Lord. Breathing by calling. You know, this is another one of those practical things. We need to pray. Not in the way we're asking the Lord for something or needing the Lord to do anything, but we need to pray just by breathing,
right.
Calling on the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, Jesus, I love you.
Right.
Lord, be with me today.
Amen.
Lord, in everything I'm doing, help me to practice you. Amen. Lord, you know how fickle I am, how easily I miss things, how easily I forget about you. You have to remind me, dear Lord. Just in simple things, we can just breathe the Lord in a daily way. This, it's a practical way. It's something that we need to build up as a habit in our daily living. Brother Lee, he pointed out that to know the Spirit in trying to walk by the Spirit is not that easy because the Spirit's very mysterious. So it's really hard to know whether what we're starting to do is the Spirit. But if you reverse it and say, Lord, we know whether it's not the Spirit. We know if it's us. That side of it, we know. So if we stop just long enough to say, Lord, is this you? Inwardly, there is a registration in us that tells us. You know, to me, this is verse John 2. The teaching of the anointing that you have is that no man needs to teach you because it teaches you everything. But don't miss what it teaches you. It teaches you to abide in Him.
Amen.
The teaching that we have when we ask this kind of a question is the Lord's teaching us stay in Him. It's not do this, do that, you're right on this, you're wrong on that. No, it's teaching us to make our abode and live in Him so that He can live in us.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be those who know the Lord and stop. I mean, this is a practical thing. Just stop. Stop our being before we go ahead with so many things. The Spirit, in verse 4, is the regenerated human spirit indwelt by and mingled with the Spirit. This corresponds to 1 Corinthians 6:17. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Christ is the Spirit in our spirit, and we are one spirit with Him. Therefore, we have a mingled spirit, our human spirit mingled with the divine spirit. Ultimately, the Bible requires only one thing of us, that we walk according to the mingled spirit. Minoru added two more things. Yeah, he said, he indicated in the Old Testament, you have all these commandments. The children of Israel had all these commandments they needed to live according to. But in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, there's really only three things the Lord requires of us. First is that we receive Him as our Lord and Savior. The second is that we would love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, and all of our soul. And the third is that we would live Him. It's boiled down to just those three things. That's all the New Testament boils down to, is receive Him, love Him, and live Him. Pretty simple to say, but the key to everything is found in this wonderful Spirit who is in our regenerated spirit and who has become one spirit with our spirit. Living the self by our natural life instead of by Christ is worse than committing sinful deeds. Is this your thought? It wasn't my thought. This is a direct quote, saints. Living by ourself, our natural life, instead of by Christ, is worse than committing sinful deeds. In the eyes of God, this is the worst sin we can have, is to live in the self. Live by ourself. To walk in the Spirit is to do everything in our daily life according to the Spirit. To live in the Spirit is to let Christ live, fill, saturate us until he permeates our whole being and is thereby expressed through us. The mutual abiding in John 15:4-5 is the practice of walking according to the Spirit. I like the fact that this is a practice. We'd all fail, I think, if we couldn't practice. You know, I don't know how many of you like to watch, but the U.S. Open was on a couple of weeks ago, and I was recuperating from my jet lag. So I was watching some of that tennis, and it amazes me that these guys can run back and forth, and girls can run back and forth across this court at full speed, and hit a ball, and it goes to one of the lines. It's just, how do they get there? It's practice. It's hours and hours and hours of practice. They hit in every possible position, every possible place, every possible way. They just do it until it's just habitual. They don't have to worry about it anymore. This is what we need. You know, I looked up the definition. I mentioned this last night and tried to paraphrase. The definition of practice is to do over and over so many times so as to become skilled, to be trained by repeated exercise. So practice suggests an act or a method followed with regularity and usually through choice in order to develop a habit, which implies a doing something unconsciously and offer compulsively. You know, at one point, one of the questions was asked, Brother Lee, isn't to turn to your spirit and exercise your spirit in this kind of a way, isn't this legal? He said, well, there's some things in your life that have got to be legal. I mean, breathing is legal, right? Eating, drinking, these kind of things are legal. Don't get so far off that you forget that there's no legalities in the Christian life. Yeah. Things that are related to life are legal. Yeah. Reading the Bible is legal. Yeah. Praying is legal. It should be legal. You know, exercising our spirit to turn to the Lord, to walk according to the Spirit, needs to be legal. Yeah. This needs to be some of the legal practices that we take care of in our Christian life. They're related to life. They're not related to ethics and morality and all the different things. So this, we need to really be those who take care of these kind of practices. I lost my place. 5, when we walk according to the Spirit, we spontaneously bear the cross. The cross is in the Spirit. It's not something separate from the Spirit. You know, when we take the Spirit, we get the growth in life, and at the same time, we get the killing of the cross. The Lord operates, and the cross is also operating. You know, I can't forget that first series of messages we gave here, Rick, on God's way, God's will, and God's goal. And eventually, the way is just the cross. He has no other way in the whole universe except the cross. So we need to be those who allow the Spirit to operate in us, to give us life, and to cross us out. Amen. Oh, Lord. Amen. Saints, again, this is something I just had to say, Lord. I read this, and I appreciate this. sorry, I skipped a couple of places. I want to go back to one. I missed one. This mutual abiding in John 15:4-5 is the practice of the walking according to Spirit. I read it, but I didn't point out. You know, there in John 15, it says, abide in me. That's the first odd thing in those verses. Abide in me and I in you. And then he says, at the end of these verses, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to abide in him, but I still think I can do a lot of things. The Lord needs to shine on us. I need the Lord shining in me to realize apart from him, I can do nothing. He is everything. And I need to realize the more of this, the more you come to him. Okay, then 6. All the things that happen to us test whether we're walking according to the Spirit or to the flesh. All things that happen to us test whether we're walking according to the Spirit or to the flesh. The best way to silence Satan is to walk according to the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We can silence Satan just by walking according to the Spirit.
Amen.
They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb,
Amen.
By the word of their testimony.
Amen.
And they love not their soul life unto the death. We're willing to let our soul life go under the cross. We need a clear view from the heavens to see that the Lord wants a group of people who walk according to the Spirit. The primary concern of all of us, not just leading ones, should be that we help one another to live Christ by walking according to the Spirit in our daily life. When we're not walking according to the Spirit in our daily life, we are walking according to the flesh. Sometimes I think subconsciously we think there's another place, somewhere in between. According to Romans 8, anything that is not according to the Spirit is according to the flesh. There are only two sources and two conditions of our daily living: the Spirit and the flesh. I want to read a couple of quotes here. When we're not walking according to the Spirit in our daily life, we're walking according to the flesh. According to Romans 8, 4 through 9, anything that is not according to the Spirit is according to the flesh. There are only two sources and two conditions of living: the Spirit and the flesh. Outward behavior, such as whether we are living, hating others, or praising or criticizing others, does not determine whether we're living according to the Spirit or the flesh. Even our love is according to the flesh if it is not according to the Spirit. We may rarely speak negatively, but even our positive speech that is not according to the Spirit is still according to the flesh. I think these things hit all of us. Perhaps it's difficult to know the Spirit, but it's easy to know what is not the Spirit. For instance, we know when our speaking is not according to the Spirit, even when it is positive. In order to be able to live according to the Spirit, it is sufficient for us to know when our speech and actions are not according to the Spirit. It's sufficient if we just know they're not. Then we can turn. We have a way to turn if we know they're not. However, we do not practice such a life. During the meetings, we may conduct ourselves according to the Spirit, but after the meeting, we often feel free to speak and do things according to the flesh. It is not sufficient merely to live morally or ethically or even to decide what to do based upon the Spirit's leading. For we may be led by the Spirit to do something, but then do it according to the flesh. We need to do everything according to the Spirit, thinking, speaking, and acting moment by moment according to the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Other aspects of our Christian life, such as preaching the gospel, should be a result of our walking according to the Spirit. If we practice to continually walk according to the Spirit throughout the day, everything else will spontaneously issue forth. Our gospel preaching and shepherding should be the issue of our walking according to the Spirit. Our primary concern should not be on how to do things, but to see what God wants, to see that God wants a people who live Christ by walking according to the Spirit. You know, there's a brother who brotherly asked to go to a certain place, and he just asked him to go to this place and be there, just live there with he and his wife. There was a situation in that place. You can't say it was a turmoil, but there was a situation in that place. And he knew, and I think Blair Lee knew in asking this brother to go there, that there wasn't much outwardly he could do. But he asked him, just go there and be there. I went there in 1996 and saw what was going on at that time. And then, not too long ago, I was able to be back in that same situation to see what was going on. And I was just amazed at what the Lord was able to do with just a couple who would just go and live Christ in a situation. Outwardly, you can't say they were doing anything. Even today, you look at it, you can't say they're doing anything. They're just there. But what the Lord has done has been amazing. It's just a glory to the Lord to Amen. See what he's done. Sorry, I don't have the liberty to mention this brother's name, but it's just amazing what's happened. And it's all because this couple was just willing to go and just be a person in Christ living there. And out of their living, this becomes so attractive and captured so many that we just wanted to live in the same kind of a way.
Amen.
And now it's a glory to the Lord and a real supply to that whole area.
Oh, yeah.
We come to K. On this, we need to make some changes, okay? So listen to me carefully. We primarily need to walk according to the Spirit in our daily life and help one another to enter into this kind of living. We need to enter into the actual practice of walking according to the Spirit. We need to help one another to balance our corporate enjoyment of the Lord with a personal daily life of walking according to the Spirit. You know, I hope you don't fall into the trap that my wife did. I expose her a little bit by telling her that when she read some of this in the Holy Word Morning Revival, she said, this is for the leading brothers. This hasn't got anything to do with me. That's the reason I made these changes. But you know, there's a book. It's called The Elder's Management of the Church. And I don't know how many of you have read any of that book. I would highly recommend, and I recommend to everyone that I get a chance to, you have to read at least three chapters. One chapter on boundaries. If you don't know this chapter, it saves you from a lot of problems in your personal life. The second is on fellowship. What is fellowship? And the third on coordination. All of us have to have these things. We need to live in a certain situation in a corporate realm, whether it's in your family life or whether it's in the church life, and we should know how to live, and that chapter on boundaries helps you to know how to live in this kind of a way. The chapter on fellowship is a chapter of showing us what fellowship is with the Lord and also with one another. And then coordination is what we need to have as we're living in a corporate way. In that, he points out all of us need to be everything, particularly the leading brothers. They need to have the wisdom. They need to have the heart to love everyone. They need to have the ability to manage the church. He goes through a whole series of things. And if, you know, if the brothers are honest, if you have one of them, Maybe, if you have one of them. Maybe. Then he says, since we can't all be all of these things, we've got to coordinate. So I may have a discerning spirit, but a brother that has a discerning spirit has hardly any love. He's cold. So he needs a brother who is warm and loving to come alongside of him. But a brother who's warm and loving loves everyone with no discernment. So they'd just accept, he'd accept the devil himself. So he needs the brother with the discernment to balance him. Anyway, he goes through a lot of illustrations like this of what it means to coordinate with one another. And eventually, the result of this at the end of the chapter, I call it, you know, the song, "The half cannot be fancied of every of all the treasure store." If you just take the half, H-A-L-F, you get the harmony, comes out of the coordination. Out of the harmony comes the authority. It's not my authority, your authority. It's the authority of the coordination. It's Aaron's rod that budded. And then out of that authority comes a living, right? A living, a loving. And then that produces the fruit. There's fruit that comes out of that. So you have this as the result of a coordination among one another. This is a beautiful, anyway, I'm sorry, I'm promoting a book, but I'm just saying there's some things that, you know, it doesn't apply to me, so why would I, ever want to, don't take these things as something that doesn't apply to me. Even Brother Noro said while he was sharing this, he started to say brothers and sisters, and he says, just brothers. Then he says, but what I'm saying applies to the sisters also.
What book?
Huh?
What book?
Elders' Management of the Church. Unceasing prayer is the way to walk according to the Spirit.
Amen.
The way to walk according to the Spirit is to pray unceasingly, just as we breathe unceasingly. Our walking according to the Spirit is our spiritual breathing. I gave you that song. If you want some enjoyment on breathing, just look it up in the hymnals.net. Breathing is in the Lord. We can walk according to the Spirit by consistent, unceasing, moment-by-moment prayer. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The more we walk according to the Spirit, the more the triune God will live in us that we may live him for the body life. This is for the body life. If we're not living the Lord and living ourselves, you know, these are fluorescent lights, but we're starting to put in some of the buildings LED lights. And if you've ever seen an LED light, there are all these little individual diodes, independent individual diodes. Well, to me, if one of us is not living the body life, it's like one of those diodes is just black, or several are just black. They stand out. We all need to be living and shining Christ so that Christ can be expressed out of the church, so there's glory unto him in to the church, right? And in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Glory in the church. We walk according to the Spirit daily, moment by moment. The triune God as the Spirit will have opportunity to make his home in our heart, settle down in us, take possession, and occupy our entire being. So we need to live the triune God by allowing him to indwell us, make home in us, and take full possession of our being by walking according to the mingled Spirit. We need to do what we need to do. All we need to do is live the triune God. Everything else will be a spontaneous issue of our living the triune God. Romans 8 reveals the triune God lives in us so that we may live him. This should be the focus of our Christian life. So when Brother Lee spoke, it said, when The way for man to fulfill God's purpose is a thorough, sorry, the way for man to fulfill God's purpose is through a proper living. However, because God's enemy Satan knows this, he uses many things to distract the Lord's people from a proper living. Therefore, we need to come back to a daily life of living Christ and walking according to the Spirit. When we walk according to the Spirit, the daily life and moment by moment, the triune God as the Spirit, we will have the opportunity to make... When we walk according to the Spirit daily and moment by moment, the triune God as the Spirit will have the opportunity to make his home in our entire being. This is our greatest need. We need a living to match this vision. Amen. Lord, may we have such a living. We want to match the vision we're seeing, Lord. The body of Christ in Romans 12 issues from the experience of walking according to the Spirit in Romans 8. So all the members of the body of Christ should be persons who walk according to the Spirit. In principle, if we do not walk according to the Spirit, we cannot practically have the body of Christ. The body life is annulled by a fleshly walk. All the believers are members of the body, but the practicality of the body depends on the believer's walk. If we truly walk according to the Spirit, we will spontaneously be in the body life. We need to see one thing, that the goal of the Lord's recovery is to recover Christ, who is the embodiment of the triune God to be our life, and who is the Spirit to live within us and make us living members of, so that his body will be built up. I want to end with this one statement. Nothing matters or will last other than the triune God living and our living him. Nothing matters nor will last other than the triune God living in us and our living him. It's the only thing that lasts. Lord Jesus, give us such a living. Amen. 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 Amen.